Story number one. A newly promoted major had just moved into a makeshift office during the first Gulf War. As he was unpacking, he noticed a private coming his way with a toolbox. Wanting to appear important, he grabbed the phone. "Yes, General Schwarzkopf, I think that's an excellent plan." "No, sir, fine. You can call me anytime. I'm glad I could help." "Yes, I will, and give my best to your family as well." "Thank you, sir, and a good day to you, General." As the major hung up, he turned to the private and said, "Well, what can I do for you, Private?" Rather embarrassed, the private mumbled, I'm just here to hook up the phone, sir." Story number two. About 30 minutes after a major earthquake, an announcer on radio station KLOS in Los Angeles made these two statements. "The telephone company is asking people not to use the telephone unless absolutely necessary in order to keep the lines open for emergency personnel. We'll be right back after this break to give away a pair of Phil Collins tickets to caller number 95. Do you know why in the New Testament Jesus had so little respect for most of the Sadducees and Pharisees? It's because, among other reasons, they were like the people in these two stories. Their words did not match their deeds. They didn't practice what they preached. They were hypocrites who were inconsistent in their faith. How do we make sure there is consistency between our faith and the living out of our faith? The first thing we need to remember is that as Christians, we are all recovering hypocrites. We are recovering because sometimes we blow it. Sometimes we proclaim one thing and do another. Sometimes we get it wrong. To get it right, we must always remember that we are saved only by the grace of God. We are saved not because of what we have done, but only because of what has been done for us through the cross of Christ. We have nothing to boast of except the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Based on that, we find ourselves called to a life of faith, filled with good works that flow from our faith. We are saved by faith and not by works. But the faith that saves is a faith that works. A young college graduate was working hard to sell farm equipment in the Midwest. With great enthusiasm, he'd memorized his sales pitch about better farming through better equipment. His first visit was to an old farmhouse not far from his new office. An elderly farmer sat on the porch of that house, gently munching a cracker as he rocked back and forth in his rocking chair. With a flourish, the young salesman bounded up the rickety steps to the porch. "Howdy," he exclaimed. "Howdy yourself," the old farmer said in response. "Sir, can I show you a catalog of modern farming equipment?" "Nope," said the old farmer. "Well, sir, don't you want to know how to improve your farming methods?" After a long, uneasy silence, the thoughtful farmer raised his head and looked the young salesman directly in the eyes. He spoke firmly. "Son, I don't farm half as good now as I already know how to farm." The book of James reminds us Christians of what we already know how to do, but often do not do. When we look at the book of James, we already know the things he tells us, and that's its point. Knowing what to do is not as important as doing what we already know to do. What we hear and what we say we believe is never as important as what we do. James is not denying that we are saved by God's grace, which we receive through our faith. What James is saying is that the faith that opens us to God's saving grace is a faith that results in good works. Three times in this short book or letter, he repeats his thesis that faith without works is dead. In this, James is stating clearly that empty faith is not true faith, not saving faith. James tells us that our faith in God and our trust in Christ must work in tandem with our actions, or our faith isn't really faith at all. Our faith in God and our trust in Christ must find expression through our actions, or our faith isn't real faith. Alexander Graham Bell was an amazingly talented person with many great ideas. He invented the audiometer, which is used to test your hearing, the multiple telegraph, the tricycle landing gear that was used on airplanes, and a host of other less well-known machines. His invention of the telephone made his family and his descendants enormously wealthy, but they almost lost it all. You see, Bell never seemed to get around to submitting patent applications. Finally, his father-in-law, who'd financed a lot of the research, got so impatient that he filed the patent for the telephone on Bell's behalf. And it was a good thing he did, because just a few hours later, another scientist by the name of Elisha Gray applied for a patent on a machine he'd been working on for years, another telephone. This story reminds us that it's not enough simply to have great ideas. We also need to act on them. Bell and his father-in-law are a good example of the relation between faith and works. Bell had faith in his telephone, but did nothing about it. His father had faith in the works to go with it. Bell's faith, without his father-in-law's works, would have been dead. Not all faith is powerful. James says there is faith that fails. There is faith that is worthless. The deeds we do are the natural outgrowth of our faith. If there are no deeds, no works, then there is no real faith, because real faith works. It does no good to just hold the right beliefs or mouth the right words unless you have actions to back them up. Simply saying you're a great race car driver or basketball player or whatever doesn't mean a thing unless you demonstrate your skills in a way that would convince any who saw them. In the same way, James tells us that mere intellectual faith is not sufficient for one's salvation. Genuine faith will always be manifested in good works. If our faith does not lead to practical holiness of life, it's like a body without a spirit, having no value at all. Information without action can even result in destruction. On the maiden voyage of a great ocean liner, the ship received a message telling of icebergs in the area. The ship's radio operator put that message under a weight at his elbow and went on with his other work. It never reached the captain of the Titanic, and 1,500 lives were lost. Like that radio operator, sometimes we know what to do, we just don't do it. The book of James was written to remind Christians of what we need to do. It was written to remind us that faith, if it is real faith, leads to faithful living. James tells us to be compassionate and loving. We Christians, he says, must be merciful and not judgmental. And James tells us that as a church, we must be inclusive and not show favoritism. Faith that works gives and shares. Every time you and I reach out a welcoming hand, every time you and I offer a word of praise, every time we lift someone up instead of putting them down, we make a difference. We plant seeds of God's kingdom in someone's heart. We plant the seeds of God's love and grace in their lives. When we practice and actively participate in Christian ministry, we serve Jesus and bring him glory. And that is faith at work. Joe Garagiola told the story of catching for a young pitcher one day when Sam Musial came to the plate. Garagiola signaled for a fastball, and the young pitcher shook it off. Garagiola signaled for a curve, but again, the pitcher said no. Garagiola signaled for a slider, and once again, the pitcher said no. Having gone through all the pitches that this young man knew how to throw, Garagiola called for a timeout and approached the mound. He said, "I've called for every pitch in the book. What in the world do you want to throw?" With his voice quivering, the young pitcher looked at the great Stan Musial standing there at the plate and said, "Nothing, Joe. I just want to hold on to the ball as long as I can." Well, don't hang on to the good news. Don't hang on to the grace and forgiveness that you've received through Jesus Christ. Give it away. Give it to everyone you meet through faith that works, because faith does work. I knelt to pray when day was done and prayed, "Dear Lord, bless everyone. Lift from every heart the pain and let the sick be well again." And then again I woke next day and carelessly went on my way. The whole day long I did not try to wipe a tear from any eye. I did not try to share one load of any brother on the road. I did not even go to see the sick who lived next door to me. Yet once again, when day was done, I prayed, "Dear Lord, bless everyone." But as I prayed, came to my ear a voice that whispered yet was clear, "Pause, hypocrite, before you pray. Whom have you tried to bless today? God's sweetest blessings always go by hands that serve him here below." And then I hid my face and cried, "Forgive me, Lord, for I have lied. Let me live but another day, and I will live the way I pray." Faith that works is faith at work. So put your faith in God today. Faith that works is faith and works. So demonstrate your faith in God today. Draw near to God through your faith that works, and God will draw near to you. Amen.